And now, News Talk 1360 WCHL presents Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show about getting educated, getting hired, and getting inspired. Hosted by the staggeringly positive Kristen Heemstra, an experienced human resources manager and college admissions consultant. And now, here's Kristen on WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to the Art of Potential show. We have such a fun show today for you. It is about how to promote yourself without feeling icky, and I have world's expert on that, Margo Lester. Welcome, Margo.
Hey, thanks for having me. I didn't realize I got elevated to world's expert.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right on.
Yeah, we're all about that. We want everyone to feel good about themselves, so if you need to give your own self a world's greatest title, go for it. So, Margo, tell us a little bit about why you know about this particular topic so well, because your history is just amazing.
I think I was born promoting, at least according to my parents. I was always like, hey, look at me. So I've never particularly felt icky about it. Mm-hmm. But because I don't feel icky about it, I'm hyper aware that a lot of people do.
That's true.
Because people keep saying, you seem so cool and relaxed about talking about all the great things you've just done. I'm like, yeah, because they're great. And I want everyone to know. And a lot of people feel it's either, you know, if you do it in the wrong way, it is completely icky. And it turns everyone off, and you don't even feel good about it, and it's just yucky. But there's a way to do it so that you can have fun with it, and you're still saying, hey, look at me, but it's not in that, oh, how arrogant can you be sort of way.
Okay, so I want to hear about that in a moment, but I also want to talk about where you started, because if I read your bio correctly, you spent a lot of time in Hollywood, where it just seems to me the capital of promotion and, you know, being out there and, hey, look at me.
Right. I mean, and Hollywood's interesting because it's really a meritocracy. If you're working, you're on the top of the heap.
Okay.
If you're and I don't mean working like at the drive-thru at the In-N-Out or something. Right. You have to, if you're out there, people always say, are you working? And then you say yes if you are, and they say, are you doing what you came out here to do? And if you answer yes to the second question, then you're done. And then all they want to know is, what have you done? That's, I mean, in Hollywood, the currency is, what have you done? What was the last thing that you did?
So you're
who
only
did
as
you
good
work
as
with?
Your last project.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
And okay. So I actually really liked it, because as long as you're out there hustling, trying to get stuff done, you're going to be okay, but you have to be okay talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say, oh, you know, I've done a few projects.
Right.
Because they're going to, like, great, who hasn't? You know,
right.
Everybody out here is doing projects. What have you done? And I think that's a big part of getting past it, is just realizing that if you do this in a natural way where you're talking about what you have accomplished, and it's yep. for real, no one's going to really care.
No, because they really genuinely want to know.
Yeah.
And in your voice, you know, when you say, oh, well, I've done a few projects, like, it brings me back to kind of the older women of, you never brag, or you never, like, show your cards. You wait for people to kind of ask what they are, and then you throw your trump card down.
Right. And I think the trick here is that it's not about bragging. And mm-hmm. if you get that spidey sense that you're bragging, you yep. probably been bragging for a long time, and it's too late. But
there's,
I think,
no
what,
hope for you.
Yeah, it's over. You've already burned all those bridges. But I think if you just come to it as, hey, I've done some pretty interesting stuff. And when you do it in context, I think where it becomes bragging is when it's either out of context, or it's just out of proportion with what's going on. So if you can keep it reined in, you're okay.
So you can't be talking about the weather and then suddenly, you know, throw in the last project you've
done. Not unless you're a weatherman.
Okay.
That would be, you know, if you're a meteorologist, great.
Right.
Roll on it. But yeah, otherwise it's a little tough. Like, oh, I remember, you know, it's rainy today, and it was raining on Thursday when I had this great accomplishment.
Right.
Seems a little forced. Feels a little bit to the other person like, oh, okay.
You really want to talk about that, don't you?
It really is all about you.
Okay. So what then is, how do you naturally create those openings to talk about yourself? Because to your point, and really where this whole show is going, is to be out in the workforce, to be both personally and professionally successful, you absolutely have to educate people on what your capacity is, what your capabilities are, what projects you've done. I mean, you do have to make that.
Right. And I think for some of us, it's as easy as, you know, can I get a speaking slot at a chamber event or at a professional association? Mm-hmm. If you're already kind of used to talking about what you do, getting a speaking speaking opportunity where you're doing it or you're showing people how to do it, that's a really easy way to self-promote without feeling self-promotional, because you're just showing people what you do. You're helping them learn a skill or giving them information that they need. And that's a really nice, again, in-context way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you get up there and you're selling the whole time, that's not going to work. So you have to really be delivering content that's valuable to those people. But for a lot of folks, that is just freak out city. Like, what? You want me to stand in front of a group of people and talk? You've got to be kidding. Again, not something that really freaks me out. But so there's some smaller ways you could do it. I mean, let's say that you are... The starter way to do it is don't try to, you know, be at a cocktail party and start dishing this stuff out. I think it's going to freak you out too much. But if you're at a professional...
And the people that you're with.
And the people you're with. Because unless it's, you know, that kind of cocktail, sort of a professional cocktail party.
And don't drink too much to make yourself comfortable.
That's right. You won't get more relaxed. You'll just get sloppy. But I think you want to look for those opportunities. Like, go to a chamber event. Like, the chamber has all these great events. Like, after hours, it's super casual.
Right.
People are just chatting. And then because we're all there to do business, talking about what you just accomplished in your business and why you have the goods and these are your credentials is normal.
Yeah.
It's what you're there for. So you can feel it. You'll hear other people doing it. Other people do it when they're talking to you. And so you can start getting some comfort around, oh, I'm not going to seem weird talking about this because it's what we're all here to do. And so I think any of those kinds of events, like I said, if there's a professional group that you're a part of, absolutely going there, because that's the currency people are dealing in there is, let's talk about, you know, hey, here's what I did. What do you do? You know, oh, can you do that better than that person? You know, the people are looking for people to do business with there.
They are.
They're looking for advisors.
And referral sources, too.
Right. And so I think the more that you can get comfortable in those safe environments, it's like on LinkedIn, too. LinkedIn's a great place to do that same thing online. So it's, everyone's on LinkedIn to talk about business. Maybe on Facebook, nobody wants to hear that you just closed a big deal or whatever. You know,
people
I
post
don't.
It anyway.
Right. But if you're on LinkedIn, everyone's there to talk business. Everyone's there looking for people to hire.
They are.
Looking for people that they can bring in as vendors, looking for referrals, looking for subject matter experts. Again, the currency on LinkedIn is self-promotional.
Mm-hmm.
So you should be utilizing things like the status update, talk about a deal you just closed or a paper you just wrote or an assignment just completed, anything like that. Getting in LinkedIn groups is great. It's another way to practice with people who are like you and they're there to do business and they're automatically, they care about the same things you do because they're in an affinity group with you. I think one place that people really underutilize on LinkedIn is if you are doing the answers, and most people don't even know it's there. You have to kind of go over on the top navigation and click more, and it says answers. And people ask questions seeking expertise.
Oh, wow. What a great way to get yourself out
there. Right. So if you can go answer the question, again, that's that super good in context self-promotion, because you're not really saying, hey, look at me. You're just saying, hey, I can solve this problem for you. Here's how I address that situation, or here's a good person for you to talk to about that. And again, that may feel for a lot of people even safer than, say, a chamber or a professional event, because no one can see you. You can always make it sound better than it might have sounded the first time you typed it.
And people are genuinely seeking your information. Another different kind of venue, but along the same lines, is Haro. Are you on that?
Right, helpareporter.com.
Yeah, helpareporter.com.
I think that's a little, that's a great one. It's just a little less direct because the reporters have to, so this is a service for y'all who don't know. It's an online service, helpareporter.com, where reporters come in and say, I need an expert on this topic.
Good.
And then you can write in your response. The thing that's different about that for me is that there's still one person who's the gatekeeper on that.
Yes.
You can get used to promoting to them, but you're not going to feel, you may not feel particularly successful after you've done it, because A, most of the reporters don't write you back because they're too busy, and B, they can only put so many sources in a story.
Right.
So I think it's a good practice thing, but I think one of the important things when you're trying to learn a new behavior is to get really good instant feedback, and you're not going to get instant feedback off most of the helper reporters. But in LinkedIn, you can see other people. When you're out in public, you can see other people. And I think those opportunities are really important. Another one that people don't think about is volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because you're showing off your great expertise by solving a problem or providing a service. And it's not, the only self-promotional thing there is to make sure you give the your card to people and say, I'm the person who's doing, you know, I just reconfigured your website, or I just redid all your laptops, or I just sold the insurance policy here. You know, you want to make sure you get your cards out to people as soon as possible.
You do. And to your point, if you're going to volunteer, which is a great way, especially if you're looking for work, to get out there and stay busy, volunteer for something relevant. Feeding people at the homeless shelter is a great thing, but it's not necessarily going to put you in front of the people who can hire you. And that's very important when
right.
you're out there looking for work.
Yeah, I think the only if that's the kind of volunteering you really want to put your time in on, then I think you just got to make sure you're meeting board members and other people who are
the right connected
people. But you're exactly right. If you're going to volunteer for something, do it to show off your expertise in a way that's going to lead to more business for you.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about promoting yourself without feeling icky.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to the Art of Potential show. I am talking with Margo Lester. Margo, what is the name of your business, and where will people be able to find you?
My company is called The Word Factory, and we're at thewordfactory.com.
Excellent.
And we're in Carrboro.
What kind of services do you provide?
We provide all kinds of things that are related to helping people tell their story. So whether you're a big company, we have some big clients in New York and Los Angeles who hire us to help them tell their story, whether it's the story of a little division or the whole company. But we also work a lot locally with individuals who just want help communicating more effectively, either in a small group setting, or we do a lot of coaching around writing and things like that. So it's whether you're talking or writing or anything else, if it's around communications, we're the folks to help you do that.
Marvelous. So what is your big advice to people who are trying to enter into this economy right now?
I think you have to get over all the fear that you have. And I know that's a super tall order, but the only way you're going to make anything happen is when we're afraid, we tend to hang back. And we also make really crappy decisions. And I think right now, no one can afford that.
Right.
So you got to step into the opportunities that are provided for you and make opportunities that aren't. And all of that requires you to get over all the stuff that's holding you back, that you're making up all these stories about why you can't do something or why you shouldn't do something or it's going to be scary. I don't know what isn't scary right now. I mean, the whole economy is scaring everybody. And so the trick is to take advantage of what you can make happen for you or what just falls in your lap. And I think that's the hard part for folks is getting that action going.
Okay, so let's say that I am a job seeker or I'm someone who's looking to have a small business and I really want to get the word out about my business, but I'm afraid. What are some of the... first of all, I'm just trying to think, what are some of the things I'm doing instead of getting myself out there? And I'm thinking like making excuses, finding other things to do.
Right. We're all busy. I mean, especially if you're working or trying to find work. I mean, trying to find work is a full-time job.
It is.
Especially now. So I think it's really easy to make these decisions. I just don't have time to do that.
Right.
And you don't if you're going to go sit in the room and not talk to anybody. But if you can look at that as an opportunity to expand your network, I can't tell you how many jobs I get from people who just, I met somewhere, you know, and we were at some event and I said, oh, hi, here's me, here's my card. And then, you know, 6 months later or something, they call me or someone who they know calls me.
Yep.
And so it's not quite, the sales cycle in this situation is pretty long. And if you need instant gratification, you're going to have to look at that from the direct feedback you get from the people you're talking to. Are they nodding? Are they engaged with you? Because it may take a while for there actually to be some business benefit, but you have to go in knowing that the only way you're going to get a business benefit is to put yourself out there and have those business cards ready and you know, have a big name tag and go up and introduce yourself to people, because you never know who's in that room.
No, you don't, and who they know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what is a sales cycle?
The sales cycle is how long it takes you from the first time you make contact to somebody until you actually get some money.
Mm-hmm. that's basically the bottom line of it. Right.
And so there's a whole bunch of things that have to happen in there. Right. First of all, you have to initiate the contact. Then you have to follow up in some way that's meaningful. And that process, that right there, could be, you could spiral through follow up for a long time, where you're just sending an article that you know this person might be interested in, or letting them know that you've gotten a new assignment, or you're volunteering here, you went to this event. There are all kinds of ways that you can gently remind people that you're out there.
So you're keeping yourself in their mind.
Right. And especially if you're with them on LinkedIn, if you're linked to them, and that's another thing I really try to get people, are you on LinkedIn? Let me link to you. Because that's a way that you can keep up with them and what they're doing, and they can also keep up with you, and it's kind of a low-key way. You're not actually necessarily having to initiate that contact. If you're using the status updates, for instance, or you're both participating in a group, they'll see what you're doing whenever they log on. So I think that's a nice way to work yourself through there. And then finally, at some point, there's going to be an opportunity where they either contact you because they need something, or you hear that they need something, and you can walk right in and say, I can provide that for you. Here's how. You know, either hire me for this job or give me this opportunity to do a contract project for you or whatever.
All right, so it sounds like a lot of this is coming from you keeping yourself in their mind. So the constant updates, that what you were talking about reminded me of a show I just recently did on using social media and tweeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so are you on Twitter?
Is that, oh, yeah.
Okay. So you're always tweeting then your updates and the things you're doing. And
right, and I use Twitter really strategically. And I think when you talk about social media, too many people feel like, oh, I have to be on there, and
right,
they don't know what to do with it. And so I have an account that's for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that I tweet whatever I want, and it's, you know, got politics and all kinds of other stuff on it. And then I have an account that's at word_factory, and that's all business. That's mm-hmm. where I'm only doing stuff that either points you to my blog, it points you to some project I just completed, it points you to something nice somebody said about me.
Right.
It's all this stuff that, and you can choose to consume that or not. What I like about it, though, is that because Twitter and the status on LinkedIn are so short, they're about the same number of characters.
Okay.
No one has to even click on anything to know exactly what you're doing. Just as they're scanning their list of updates, there you are. I'm like, oh, there's that Margo again. You know, what's she up to? And I think that's the kind of thing that social media really gives you, is an opportunity for sort of a softer touch with people.
Yeah.
That you don't have to be sending them emails or your resume or whatever.
So you're not feeling icky. You're just feeling like I'm letting you know.
You're doing what you do, and they're going to catch it when they skim and scan. And I think that's a really good way to look at it. I think the other thing is just to... you do accomplish things. You are a good person. Right. There's no reason you shouldn't tell people that.
Right.
And you can practice doing it. Maybe if you have some friends who all sort of have that same feeling about, oh, I don't know about this whole self-promotional thing. It's just get together and promote to each other.
I think that's really important. You'll hear a lot of people talk about the elevator pitch. And the elevator pitch, particularly if you are a small business or if you are a job seeker, and essentially, basically, they're the same thing, just one's an individual and one's got a company in front of them. You are told to craft that and to hone that and to get that exactly right. But the truth is, I don't know about you, but I've heard some really well-done elevator pitches that come off just a little bit too much.
They're too slick.
Yeah.
And I think what you want to practice is the action of talking about yourself in a confident way. You don't want to memorize your pitch.
I like that.
You don't want to have some stock answer. What you want to do, the way I look at it is that there's an idea and some details that you need to convey. The words you use to convey those may change at any time. But if you're clear on what's the most important thing I want somebody to know about me, and what are two or three kind of proof points around that, what are some results I've gotten or people I've worked with or whatever, if you can keep those in your head, then the way you talk about it, the actual words you use, are going to be so much more natural and not slick. And so then what you're getting comfortable with is just talking about yourself to other people.
Now, I really want to get into this, because what you're talking about is a perceptual change, in the sense that when what I hear you saying is when you go and talk to someone, you're going to be talking about the benefits you can give them or the results that you've had.
Right.
Which is very different than a lot of these, oh, I need a job, can you help me kind of things.
Right. When there's so many people in the workforce, there are going to be a bunch of people who do what you do. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is. I mean, so the trick is you have to stand out from those people. And the best way to do that is, like we were talking about in Hollywood, what was the last thing you did? Mm-hmm. What were the results that you got in that job? If you cut the, you know, if you operated a multi-million dollar company on a $1 million budget, or did you cut costs somehow, or did you improve efficiency, or did you get some kind of, you know, more people to donate to the nonprofit than anyone else has? Things like that where you can actually quantify the results that you got. I think those are really the difference makers right now. Because as I said, there are just so many people who you can all do the same what.
Right, yeah, the same
So it's sets. How did I do it? What results did I get? What were the processes I used or the procedures I used to make those things happen? When people can feel like not only do you have the basic stuff down that is the requirement. I mean, when you look at a job description, the assumption is if you get called in for an interview, you have that stuff.
Right. There.
Or if you know, and if you don't have those things, you can still talk about ways that you can compensate for that. But it all comes down to the results that you get from the work you've done. And if you don't have that stuff handy, that's one of the preparatory things you can do when you think about what's the most important thing I want people to know about me and how do I prove that? Then think about what are some results that you've gotten and be as specific as you can. Saying you did something better than somebody else did is not helpful because everyone says that. How much better did you do it and how did you get that result? So it's kind of a two-part thing.
It is.
I did it better because I used this process or procedure or technique or whatever, and it resulted in savings, efficiencies, productivity, whatever the metric
whatever
is.
Whatever it is that you're trying to promote.
But that does require some advanced work on your part to really sit down and say, okay, what are those proof points?
And we're going to talk about that more in a moment because you're talking about vetting your history, basically. Mm-hmm. You are listening to Kristen Heemstra. I am talking with Margo Lesser, and this is the Art of Potential Show. We will be right back.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Margo Lesser. She is thewordfactory.com, and we're talking about how to promote yourself without feeling icky. Our last point was that when you go to any type of event and you're talking about yourself, you really need to have a sense of what you've done, the reason that you're talking to someone. My question to you, Margo, is let's say that your last project isn't what you want to do in the future. How do you handle that?
You go to the last project you did that is related to that. Okay. Now, that shouldn't, I mean, if that's 5 or 6 years ago, then you also have to pull together a narrative on why you haven't been doing that lately.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think that if there's an upside to the way the economy's been lately, it's that it's no longer weird to run into somebody who maybe hasn't been doing their first choice at a career for the last little while. There are a lot of people in that situation. And so what you want to do is build out a narrative that says, well, I really want to be doing this. I did it before.
Right.
But then you might have heard the economy went kind of south. And because I need to make a living, I've moved over to this. But I really want to get back to my first choice.
Yep.
The other thing that's really great if you can do it is pull relevant information and skills out of whatever this last thing is that you've been doing that are applicable in your new thing. I was just talking to somebody the other day who was saying, well, you know, but I've been doing tech for 5 years and I really want to get back into teaching. And I don't see how I can make those work. And I said, well, look at all the things you've learned about technology that you could bring into the classroom.
Absolutely.
And it they may not seem analogous at the beginning, but if you can look at what's needed in this position that you really want or this field that you really want, I know if you, again, take some time, you can figure out what do you have from this current position that you're in or opportunity that you're in that is actually relevant to the next thing you want to do? And that's what you can focus on.
And I think most people at one point, even without a down economy, most people at some point in their careers find themselves trying something out and thinking, oh, I didn't like this. I want to move into a totally different field. You never lose the skills you develop where in your history. And that's really important because, you know, even in teaching, you do need the technology for mm-hmm. sure, but you also need the business skills. You also need the administrative skills. You need all of those, for example.
Right.
And I just think that's really important that people don't, you shouldn't diminish your history or ignore it or deny it. If you're looking for an umbrella term to call yourself when you've been in work or in and out of jobs, you can also use the term consultant. We've seen that a lot where people have said, oh, I was consulting with this organization or with that organization, because it does a great job of kind of hiding, you know, the bits and starts in some
right.
career paths. So I've seen that more and more, shall mm-hmm. we say. Mm-hmm. So my question to you is, I'm going to go back to the Hollywood thing. What did you learn there that's helped you here or just in general in terms of seeing promotion?
Right. I think the trick is that you're always telling a story. And okay. I don't mean a lie story.
Right. No, you're always telling
a tale,
your story.
Yeah. A narrative. And I think what you learn in Los Angeles when everybody is pitching all the time. You're either auditioning or pitching, and they're really the same thing. Actors and musicians audition. Everyone else pitches. What do I have that's going to make me great for this? What are the last projects I went? Who can I bring? I mean, a big thing in Hollywood is who can I bring with me onto this project? You know, who can I bring a little ecosystem that's going to make us even more efficient, right? Because everything in Hollywood, like everything really is, but it's sort of hyper-focused in Hollywood, is we've got to get this project in on time, on budget, and all kinds of crazy stuff happens when you're making movies. And so the more people you can bring in that you've worked with before and you have a good relationship with and you know they're reliable and you know they can get stuff done on time, that when things go crazy, and they will, these people are your go-to people.
Yep.
It brings a little extra confidence about putting you onto a project. And so I think I learned two things, sort of had two things, I guess, that kind of coalesced when I was out there and really came into to clear relief for me. And one was, you know, luckily I'm Southern, so I can tell a story. But the value of telling it as a story, and with, you know, it's got a beginning, a middle, and end. There's a moral to it. You know, there's, even if that's three sentences, you know, make it more entertaining than, hey, yeah, I build websites. I'm really good at it. My sites don't ever go down. Well, you know, great. Who cares?
I mean, so how would you tell that in a story?
Well, I think you say, you know, you can, there are a million different ways you can pose it. I think what's really important when you get to this part where you're actually talking about what you say is that it has to be authentic and comfortable for you.
Yeah.
I'm a super out there, overly confident, crazy person. And I probably just go out and say, hey, you know, I know I was looking at your website the other day and I saw that you've got a bunch of busted links and a whole bunch of stuff isn't working. And I know it's just super hard to get that done when you're trying to run your business. Guess what my business is? I do that. And here are the three sites that I just built the other day. These are some, you know, big time sites I worked on. And here's my record for having pages that are down and things like that. So you can make it, you know, but it's got to have your energy
yep.
and your personality to it. And if you are a more reserved person,
that's
then
okay.
you can still tell a story.
Yeah.
I really encourage you to take a look at when you're at other events, is listen to people who seem to really get it,
mm-hmm.
Who seem authentic.
Right.
Because your promotion is going to come off like a used car salesman. Nothing personal to people who do that, but the bad used car salesman. Or the slick sales guy from WKRP in Cincinnati, for people who are old enough to remember that. You're going to come off that way if you're being inauthentic. So what you want is to tell your story in a way, but it's more like someone has a problem and you have the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can frame your story that way, problem, solution, here's what I can do for you. It requires you to do a little bit more research sometimes to understand right. what's going on with their business. But I think that's the way to frame it. What feels comfortable to me and my personality? What's the most important thing I want them to know and the proof points I need for it? And then what's their problem and how do I have that solution? If you can bring those three elements together, you're going to do really well.
I would imagine that you would. Now, this was one of the things you learned was how to tell a story, or one of the things that coalesced. You said there were two.
The other one is knowing who you can bring to a project. Okay. And I think we all know, I mean, networking has been around long enough now. We all know you need to have a good network. But I think the trick here is being able to identify just a handful of people for specific situations so that you can say, I mean, I was just talking to a client the other day, and they had hired me to rewrite their website. But then I got into it, and I realized their architecture was totally off. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I have a web person who's really fast. I've worked with her a bunch, and she could come in and re-architect this so it would work better for you. And because she's be working with me, it'll be a little less expensive because she knows that, you know. And then not only do I keep my client happy, I keep my friend over here happy because I got her business. And I look like this rock star who can bring all these cool people onto a project. That's the kind of stuff that you want to look for is not only, you know, part of your solution should be who else can I bring in case, you know, things go crazy and we need extra help.
I've often said and will always say that one of the biggest factors in personal and professional success is the level of trust you can convey. And you just gave such an eloquent example of that, because you have somebody who you trust and you're bringing them business because you know you wouldn't refer your friend if she wouldn't get it done, if she did, you know, a poor job.
Right.
And then your client's trusting you. So it really, word of mouth, we know, is the best form of business professionally and personally. And we trust people who tell us that people do a good job. So that's just something to really, what you're talking about is generating word of mouth business.
Right. I think the other thing to think about if you're uncomfortable promoting yourself is to ask those trusted people that you work with professionally. If they're referring you to other people, they must have some shtick about you. They must have something that they tell people, like, oh,
that's
call
really
Kristen.
Point, yeah.
She's great at X.
Right.
And so you may just ask them, how do you talk about me?
What can I pull
from you?
That is a great point.
Since I'm freaking out about having to talk about myself, I'll borrow your script.
I'll borrow your words. What do you think of me?
Until I get comfortable with mine. And it also helps you understand how people are perceiving you out in the people who are your word of mouth marketers.
Yep. Well, Margo, thank you very much. You are listening to Kristen Heemstra on the Art of Potential show.
You're listening to Art of Potential on WCHL. Once again, here's your host, Kristen Heemstra.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and you are listening to the Art of Potential show, and I am talking with Margo Lester. So, Margo, what do you say when you're meeting somebody? Like, what is your standard line if you are about to meet someone?
I just always walk up. Just the other day, as a matter of fact, I was in a room. I didn't know anybody. I just walked up and said, hi, I'm Margo Lester with the Word Factory in Carrboro. I can solve your problems.
Well, you don't even know at that point if they have a problem.
I'm sure everyone has a problem, and I'll find a way. I have a huge network. I can make it happen. What happens is people just kind of go, you know, they step back and they're like, oh, what do you mean?
Okay, so what if they say, hey, Margo, I need a date for the weekend. What are you going
to
do?
Well, I used to work for Match.com, so that's, you know. So I could give you a ton of advice on that. I think the trick is to, you know, be honest. Can you, now that you made that huge statement, maybe you personally can't solve that problem, but you know somebody who can, and that goes back to your network. I think really, when you're going to go up and meet people for the first time, if you can just walk up, say your name, say your company name, and give them some idea. You know, maybe I would say, I work in strategic communications.
Okay.
But again, something that suits your personality. I like making big statements, so I'm probably going to say I can solve your problem. That's what I said the other day. I think what's interesting.
Did it work?
It did.
Yeah.
And what was interesting was a couple of people who weren't the person I was talking to overheard it and kind of came over, like they left their little group and came over like, who is this person? And I think that particularly because what I deal with is helping people tell these stories, and so many people are super self-conscious, that if I can be a little funny about it and be more confident, it gives them some confidence. So again, that's appropriate for me. Now, when I'm up in New York and I'm working with big media companies about how to solve huge problems, I'm not going to play it that fast and loose. You know, I'm going to say, look, I've worked in large content operations before. I used to work in a big newspaper in Los Angeles. I've worked here and here. These are the kinds of things I've done. So I think the trick is to also keep it appropriate to where you are. Who are the people you're talking to? And what's the service you're selling? And if it's something where you can be big and kind of outlandish and funny, go for it. I mean, I'm always surprised at the way gigs come to people who just kind of put themselves out there in a way that appeals. It's going to appeal to somebody. If you're being authentic, authenticity really does sell.
It does. Absolutely. And we like people that we can identify with, and everyone has an authentic side to them that we can connect with. I agree with that.
Well, and I think it's hard now, you know, again, there's so many people applying for any one job. People want to work with people they like.
They do.
Or who are fun or interesting or just offbeat or high energy or, you know, there's all these different criteria.
Yeah.
Some people like to work with people they like who are low energy and calm and reassuring. So I think, again, if you can bring yourself to that, then people who are looking for the skills that you and 17 other people might have, but they might be drawn to your particular presentation, the way that you present yourself. And that could be enough to set you apart if you have some results that you can show off and then you have the personality fit for the group. That really makes a huge difference.
It does. And I'd like to just comment on that, because fit is one of those things that it's a very hard variable to connect with. The only way you're going to do it is to be authentic. And having sat through, I can't tell you how many interviews, sometimes you just know, even though the qualifications are all the same, it's the way the person comes in and delivers that's going to be a good match for that particular team. And if the team were to change, a different candidate would have been a better match.
Right.
And that's one of the things I feel bad about with job seekers is they'll beat themselves up because they didn't do great in the interview. And it's just one of those things that fit is fit when it works.
And it's also makes a really good case for not faking your way through it.
Absolutely.
You can't, if you're not a high energy person, don't try to be that in your cover letter or in your interview or when you're out in the world.
Right.
Because as soon as if you're hired based on that personality type, as soon as that personality type is required to get through the business day, you're done.
You're toast.
Because they're going to be like, wait, where did that super confident person go? You're like, you're now so risk averse. How am I going to work with that? So I think the authenticity thing is really important across all of the communication you're doing around promoting yourself.
It is, as is giving a consistent and trustworthy message. One of the things that I've seen too, just to go back to the job interviews, which I found to be interesting, is it's okay when people say, I don't know. You can't leave it alone and just leave it at that. You've got to explain further or explain how you'll figure something out. But we all have things we don't know. And so to say, well, I tried, and it's even okay to say you didn't succeed at something. I tried this and it didn't work as well as I hoped, and I had to go back and revamp it and do it like this. Because when you're looking for a real job and a real work situation, that's what's happening 24/7. We're all trying to figure it out.
Right. I think your ability to show resilience is what's really important. It's not doing postmortems. It's not knowing every single thing that went wrong. But it's knowing that this didn't work out for me.
Right.
Here's how I recovered from that. Here are the lessons I learned from it. And now I can bring that as we go forward and try to pursue another project. And again, I mean, that's a form of self-promotion. I think what people always think that promoting yourself is this explicit activity that's around sales and being slick. And it's really anytime you're talking about anything you've ever done, you're doing self-promotion. And so bringing yourself, stepping into that opportunity to help people understand what you're great at is going to reap benefits no matter what you're doing.
And it's also creating opportunities at the same time, because to our earlier point, if people know what you're about and they know what you're doing, you're going to be in a really good situation to then build around the message that you've given. All right, so what is your advice for a job seeker who is not comfortable talking about themselves? Would you say to go through and make a list of all your accomplishments and start practicing in the mirror? What would you do?
I think the best thing to do is build some confidence around your knowledge base. So the trick would be, what are the 3 to 5 things that I am really great at that apply to this particular job? And let me make sure that I have the results attached to that. You know, how can I speak to the how did I do this part? Not what I did, but how did I do it? And what happened as a result?
How
is so important. I think the other thing is, don't freak. It's so easy for us to get caught up in practicing and I have to get this right. Try to have some fun with it. Try to relax into it. If you're telling the truth, there shouldn't be any stress around it.
Right.
And nobody likes interviewing. Interviewers don't like interviewing.
No,
it's awful.
They hate it.
Nobody likes it. So just say, you know what? I know we're not going to like this. I'm not going to do it perfectly, but I'm going to do it the best that I can. I'm going to bring 100% of what I have available at this moment. And if you can do a lot of good preparation, then you're going to be okay. Don't rehearse. just prepare.
And part of your preparation, too, needs to be questions for you to ask an interviewer about the company, the job, whatever. Not anything you can find online or not, you know, unimportant questions. But we know from research that the job is offered most frequently to the person who has a dialogue with the interviewer. So they're having an organic conversation about a response, about something that's going on in the industry, about some issue the company is facing, and they're both sitting there having a, you know, a natural conversation about it. And I think people get caught off guard by that because they think of themselves kind of like, here I am, a piece of meat, do you like me?
Right.
You know, kind of a thing.
Well, and I think, again, it goes back to that preparation. What kind of research can you do? How familiar can you get so that you can ask real questions that you care about? Don't ask fake questions you don't care about.
No.
You know, what do you really want to know about a place you want to work or a job that you're going to be doing? Those kinds of questions do start people, start a real dialogue, and they enable you, again, to do more selling in context in a softer way.
And selling is educating. I mean, you're not going to buy anything that you don't know the benefits of the product on. You can go, to your point, you can go to Target and there's 100 different deodorants there, and they all have their own type of thing they're educating you about as to why they're the best for your particular need. And if you don't tell anyone, they're never going to know how fabulous you are.
Right. So, you know, you got to get yourself out there. Have a few points that you know you can make regardless of what kind of room you're in or who the audience is, and then build from that.
All right, very good. Thank you for listening. This is Kristen Heemster with the Art of Potential Show. And Margo, tell us one last time, where can people find you?
TheWordFactory.com. And if you're on Twitter, you want to find me, it's @word_factory. I'm also on LinkedIn, Margo Lester.
Wonderful. And then, of course, there's the Art of Potential Show. We want you to give us a thumbs up on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter because I'm always tweeting very exciting things. And also on LinkedIn, Kristen Heemstra at LinkedIn. So we'd love to hear from you.
1360 WCHL wants to connect with you online for updates on our lifestyle programs, awesome giveaways, contests, trivia, community photos, breaking news, and more. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Chapelboro and become our fan on Facebook by visiting facebook.com/1360WCHL. And always connect with us online at chapelboro.com.